afternoon. Today is Tuesday, October the 14th, 284th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the marketing director of the Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau, Mr. Richard Stenger. Hey, dude.
Good afternoon, Brian. It's great to see you and your crew.
You're reading Dalby's lines. It is great to be here.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about some of the various journalist visits that happen in our area from the different media, different personalities, different target groups, all that stuff. Richard's kind of the go-to guy on all those projects, so we'll talk about some of the more recent activities that have been going on in our area when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Richard Stenger. But before we do our quote this afternoon, let's see. I've got Allison Lurie and Rose McCauley. They're both tourist-related quotes, though. Do you want Allison or do you want Rose?
Oh, I'll have to go with Rose.
All right. 1926 from the publication Crew Train. Quote, "One never feels such distaste for one's countrymen and countrywomen as when one meets them abroad." Yeah, I guess it's kind of like banging on, I don't mind banging on California, but if somebody else does, the initial check off. Oh, well, then they're right. Okay, never mind. But, defend the home front, so to speak.
Well, the converse of that is one never appreciates one's home until one is far away.
Or can't go back.
Yes. Can never look home. Look home with Angel.
So when you're talking about journalists, I know that there's a whole bunch of different definitions these days of journalists. I mean, a blogger to me is somebody who has nothing to do in their life other than sit down and think somebody cares about their opinion. That's not a journalist to me. I know for you, though, that's a critical part.
Oh, that's a very good comment, Brian. And in fact, part of our job to do is to serve as a filter to make sure that when we help journalists and get them either some lodging assistance or meal assistance or activity assistance, that we're not foisting what we call tire kickers on CVB members. And that is
travelers,
people that have mom and pop newsletters and look at my website. It's got 8 hits last week. So those, they're nice people and they write that all off on their taxes, but we don't want to have resources there versus real working journalists who we want to help out.
How does the Visitors Bureau define a journalist?
Well, a couple of ways. It's sort of like there's not like a literal definition. It's more like I know one when I see one. I was a journalist for 15 years, so I
sort of. So you're equating journalism with pornography?
Well, I'll leave that up to the readers or the listeners to decide, Brian.
Okay, fair enough.
But I see your Supreme Court reference. A lot of people are already sort of somewhat vetted by the State Tourism Office, who work with a lot of international journalists, and they pass the baton to us.
They've got a record.
Yes. However, I would say some of their vetting is a little leaves something to be desired, and we've been left with a few folks that weren't as good as we thought they'd be. So we do a little bit more vetting, and also a lot of journalists, even international journalists, will work directly with us because they've heard about the California Redwoods and they want to come here directly for that.
Rather than going through the state office?
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll check on, if they have an assignment or if they, or their track record, if we're just here on what is called spec, they're just here to.
So you do a quick background on them to see, is this one legit?
Yes.
Viable?
Yes. So, I mean, some of them are no-brainers. The most recent one we had were a writer and photographer with Lonely Planet magazine, which is one of the primary publications based out of the UK for travel. It's fantastic. As you know, they're guidebooks. They also have a glossy magazine. And I looked over these guys' work. You know, they've done a lot of great work. So that's a no-brainer. So
if they're an employee, does that kind of put them into that, yeah, that's legit?
Employee of Lonely Planet, per se?
Employee of blank.
Well, you know, there are no more employees. There's very few. There's very few. In fact, Lonely Planet is one of the few publications that still will send a writer and a photographer overseas for one assignment, which is what they did here for this Pacific Northwest road trip story. A lot of them, and they're freelancers. The Chronicle, the San Francisco Chronicle, just to give you some context, when I started my job 8 years ago, they had a staff of 8 in the travel section. They now have a staff of 1. Everything else is freelancers. They still use all the same people they used 8 years ago, but they've all been kicked off the staff and are freelancers.
They're all, just all independent contractors. And
yes.
Get us stuff and we'll use it rather than having an assignment desk.
So exactly. So this last group, they were a very nice group. They've been all over the world together as a team. The writer, his wife is from Iceland, so he had some interesting stories about Iceland. He made some attempts to learn Icelandic until he realized that, well, in English there's two cases, upper and lower case. In Icelandic, a very old language, there's 18 cases.
Yeah, it's time to pack the suitcase.
So we had a wow. Nice trip. We went to the Redwoods and almost from central casting, after this very nice park ranger, Carrie Wells, took us around, showed us some interesting things, and she talked about some of the large tree crashes, and next thing you know, tree crash. Padum.
Oh, really? Hear
yeah.
The pop?
It's good.
Very cool. A lot of rotten old redwood trees?
Well, I think the rains, the last one rain after a year finally knocked a few over.
Pushed it over, yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Richard Stenger.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Richard Stenger. Richard, the types of journalists, does that matter also? I mean, you were talking about wandering through the trees. Okay, I didn't hear that there was a camera associated with it. Is there a lot of video journalists that are involved? Or are
there's a few. There's
more
a few.
Written there- and oral?
Mostly print or online. With some video component. There was a German film crew here 2 weeks ago filming the Redwoods in Northern California on a trip that we assisted them with. Sometimes we'll contact the film commissioner, Cassandra Heseltine, and we'll see how we can best work with some of these groups on permitting and whatnot.
Do they need permits to go in and film?
Sort of.
Really,
there's a lot of variations in Redwood National Park. This group wanted to film with a drone, which in national parks is almost never done, never approved.
You strap the camera
in state
up
parks.
Your,
in state parks,
control and they go flying around.
Uh huh. In state parks, there's fewer restrictions, and if it's a very small outfit, you know, one person with a video camera, and for a small outlet, sometimes you know permitting is lax. I'll just say that.
Why would the national park have any different standard than what the state park is?
Well, federal law, state law.
It's still in Humboldt County.
Yeah.
Or do
well,
they just have one for everything?
I can oh, there, see no, no, there's
Empire
different.
State
no,
building,
yeah,
I
yeah, no,
it.
There's different. You know, if you want to film in Eureka, there's a whole different permitting process. That's not my ballywhack. That's the film commissioner. If it's
it just seems like interesting that they would put hurdles in the way of somebody yep. trying to do PR. That's all. And maybe it's not a hurdle. Maybe it's more of an awareness.
Well, one thing we did film a little bit last week with the Lonely Planeteers was the elk rut up in Elk Meadows, by the Elk Meadow Cabins near Oreck. There's a herd there.
Rolfs.
What's that? Oh, Rolfs. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
There's a herd there that is not camera shy. They should have an agent. And we watched a lot of bugling with the alpha male. He was bugling to keep away a young buck that had just two prongs. He didn't mind that he was there, but he didn't want that young buck to get too comfortable in the herd. And then another buck that had a pretty big alpha or a beta male that, I don't know, had, I'll say, 8 points. I don't know.
His rack was impressive.
Yeah. Well, he got the short end of a fight and was limping really badly. We were quite concerned. We thought, you know, this might be a dead elk walking because it looked like it might have had a broken leg. Well, I was happy to tell the Lonely Planeteers later, after checking in with Grant Roden, who works at Elk Meadow Cabins, that things are looking up. He said, 30 does, one bull. These things happen, but that elk in particular, a cup of coffee and a bite to eat, he'll be back. He'll be back in action soon enough. So we were happy to hear that.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I don't know. Interesting, I guess, is the term, the herd that is around the lagoon there. Sometimes, well, was it last night when I was coming back? Yeah, coming back. The males were in one spot. The females were in another spot, half a mile away, both right on the road, though. Some people slowed down. Some people didn't. The elk seemed to be, and I suppose this is the dangerous part, seem to have become desensitized to road traffic. That's where, obviously, yeah, the challenge is, whether it's with a journalist getting too close or getting close enough or not close enough, and the vehicular traffic going back and forth, as you're seeing, you know, the tractor trailer with five racks of lumber from the mill come ripping around the corner, and there the elk right there.
It would be nice if there were more signs there. There are some signs, but the problem is the elk love grass. They love mowed grass, and one of the places you find that is along roadsides. They've become quite savvy.
And around the Red Schoolhouse.
Yep. They've become quite savvy, but not necessarily savvy enough in all cases. When they put in the new highway up there around the Newton Drury Parkway, that the rangers there were kind of sad to some degree because they knew that was a death sentence for a number of does, which it turned out to be, because they couldn't resist that new grass up there. And people were just barreling down the highway. Well, that elk herd you mentioned in particular at the lagoon, I had a nice visit with them on the lagoon itself a few weeks ago with another travel writer from National Geographic Travel Books named Joe Yogurst, like yogurt with an S, and that stuck there near the end. Very nice guy. He had a wonderful time, stayed at the Lost Whale Inn. And one of the challenges we have there is they sometimes don't go out to dinner because they're having so much fun at the Lost Whale Inn when they start the wine receptions in the late afternoon. But I digress. We were on the lagoon with Marna Powell from Kayak Zacks, who's opened she's opened her store at the Old Stone Lagoon Visitor Center.
Yeah, the Visitor Center doesn't exist anymore?
It does with her. She's resurrected it. And she's
inside, but there's no state.
The state is helping, and Marna's done a great job in turning that into a de facto visitor center. Lots of literature. She's very knowledgeable, and she is fun. If you ever get a chance, when I take journalists on the lagoons with her, she is one of the attractions because she's so quirky. She's so funny. She's very dedicated to teaching proper paddling instruction. But she does it in a way that is very memorable. Like, she shows you how to hold a paddle, and she goes, okay, raise your hands up. All right, pretend you're a zombie, and you're trying to get somebody. That's how you hold your hands. I mean, and I'll be darned if I'm, like, not paddling right. Okay, I'm a zombie. You got to remember, I'm a zombie.
Yeah. Okay, take your zombiness outside right now. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Marketing Director of the Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau, Richard Stenger. Richard, the concept of working with journalists sounds kind of like a misnomer. Are you working with them, or are you facilitating them working with themselves?
Yes and yes. I see my job as sort of being a freelance editor. Journalists are oftentimes, even the really good ones, are they're stumped for new ideas. And if I can repackage the Redwoods or show them something new there, or show them something that hasn't been covered, then I'm helping them do their job, and they like that. And sometimes they'll come with a preconceived notions of what they're going to write about, and they'll leave with a different story. When Joe, for example, when he came from the guy from National Geographic Travel Books, he didn't know you could ride a horse in the Redwoods. So next thing you know, he and I are saddling up with the Redwood Creek Buckarettes, a wonderful outfit in Orrick. And from the town of Orrick, you get on the trail and you're immediately in a part of Redwood National Park with very impressive old growth stands. It's on the non-ocean side of Orrick and those hills there. I had no idea those were out there.
Not in the rodeo grounds.
You start the rodeo grounds.
Is that where you start?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And a two hour trot, you end up, the culmination is going into this giant goose pen and having your picture taken with your horse in the goose pen. The horses, it's all rote to them, so they know when to smile and when the camera is clicking. Joe loved that. He had an absolutely wonderful time. That's going to be a big part of his coverage, I'm sure.
Is there... It's interesting for me that the journalists don't come in with more of a creative bent, that they're looking for somebody to give them an idea of something different rather than, for example, I mean, you said that first thing I thought of, old mill sites. Now you can do the history of the logging. Where are they, those mill sites? How have they turned? What's been the impact of the local communities? You could have a whole series there. Or you could select one mill and go through some of the history of that. And even if it was a photographic layout, there's still a ton of stuff that they could do, where the trees had been cut, some of the historical, some of the current, some of the future, things like that. But I would think that people would come in with that kind of a thought, do a little research, see what's been done, do something different.
There's two.
That doesn't happen that regularly?
Not particularly in the mill example, because that's a reflection of, you can love redwoods either horizontally or vertically, just like you can raise rabbits for pets or meat.
Sure.
So in traditional outdoor travel journalism, they prefer the vertical trees and they'll touch upon the history of the logging and so forth. There is some discussion about making more of a historical heritage related tourism up in this area. Now, back to your question, though, about you thought journalists, or your comment about journalists being, you thought they'd be more creative. I'm going to go easy on them in this regard. Your average journalist now, whether it be travel or any other beat, is now required to do four times as much as was thought of one journalist 20 years ago. Their demands on them are more and more and more and more. Compensation they get, yes, is less and less and less and less. So in some ways, my job is actually becoming more important because I'm helping provide just some critical background research for them.
Volume opportunity.
They have to do so much more and with less that they have to, even the really good experienced ones have to rely more on any resources they can find, including the CVBs, if they provide good quality information. If they're just talking market ease the whole time, they may not help, rely on them.
Could the flip side of that sword be when they come to town, they have to do four or five different stories related, but still independent?
That does
trees, yeah, lakes,
yeah, yeah,
rivers,
yeah, 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 yeah. That does happen. We had a woman here from McClatchy News Service, and she writes a budget travel piece for that's syndicated throughout the McClatchy Empire,
and
they have dozens of newspapers, big newspapers. But that also goes online, and she also either recycles or repurposes, or will do blow up sidebars, expand sidebars into other stories for other media. She also writes for Canada.com, for example. So the same story might be repurposed, or a story that didn't get covered by McClatchy because they didn't want it. She can give it to Canada.com,
or tweak it a little bit, probably have a different area of emphasis.
Yep.
So are you getting more inquiries into the area?
I think right now the Redwoods are very, very, very hot. This was one of the biggest years they've had at the Redwood National Park in terms of attendance, and down at Humboldt Redwood State Park. The hotels had...
How would they know at Redwood National? I mean, they don't have the little bumpy across.
Well, no. They don't have an exact count in terms of but they just measuring, almost direct measures. For example, how many people are camping, how many people go to the visitor centers, and how much just general. They do estimates of auto traffic down 101, and they have some sort of algorithm as to how many people
level.
Are stopping. Yep.
Okay. So both of those were good. That's interesting. It's interesting that they were up, because I know that kind of correlates to what the lodging industry has been saying also.
Yes. Yes.
In the region. So that's any reason? Or are they just interested?
Well, I'd like to think we might have had a little something to do with it. Macro issues included, I think more and more, the more urbanization there is, the more people are seeking out those natural pristine experiences, and here we have some of the best. We have the Redwoods, which we get international interest in constantly. The Asians are starting to find it. We've had a lot of Asian trade people, whether they work for tour operators or trade industry press from Asia, from Japan and China in particular, over here a lot. I think we're going to start reaping more benefits of that, because they're putting together tours based on my colleague Megan Parfit's itineraries that she's helping them actually experience here as the foot soldiers of the tourism industry in Asia, the tour operator people. They go back home, they write about it, they sell it to regular folks, and bada boom, you start getting more people from those countries. We're seeing that in Korea, China, and Japan. And there's something that just resonates, having a top, we'll call it a top 50 bucket list item, the world's tallest trees.
I know in the past there's been a focus on West Coast travelers.
Yes.
Does the international trump that?
No. West Coast is our bread and butter, and we shift that strategy accordingly. We try to distinguish our redwoods from the other ones. And we also push our unique towns, the Victorian villages and seaports and fishing villages, and also in particular, the Lost Coast, which I think resonates with a lot of Californians who they want to have a pristine coast. You are not going to get it anywhere like you're going to get it on the Lost Coast. Almost 100 miles of undeveloped beachfront. It's California's Alaska.
So do the journalists pick up and have the parallel areas of interest that the West Coast folks are, that the international community is having, or are they running with the current, or are they trying to swim upstream and find something different?
They're trying to find something different. I mean, it's funny that when I work with a lot of San Francisco Chronicle writers, and one of them did a great story about Humboldt's microbrews. And he liked my pitch, and that was, hey, you know what? We got great microbrews, but we also got great outdoors. In fact, you can pair each one of our five major microbrews with a nearby pub crawl hike, an outdoor. They call them pub hikes in England. He thought that was brilliant. So we paired each of the five big breweries with a nearby hike. For example, Lost Coast Brewery, well, we couldn't go down the Lost Coast for the day, so we went to the Hixari Trail. Mad River Brewery, well, you got the Mad River. Six Rivers Brewery, you got the Hammond Trail, and et cetera, et cetera. Eel River, you got the Eel River. So his premise was, Richard, I want to write something up there, but not about the Redwoods. So he wanted to write a great Humboldt story, but not about the Redwoods. Because so to some degree, California, it's overkill, so we will market other things to them.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:44. We'll be back with more from Richard Steyer.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:48. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon. Final couple minutes with Richard Steyer. So what's on the horizon? What is out there?
It's all about otters. The otter exhibit at the zoo is fantastic. Makes great video, great photos, because the kids are you can't tell where the kids stop and the otters start, because the exhibit with the utterly awesome otter underwater otter tube, the kids are practically swimming with otters. It's fantastic. And the otter like it. The kids like it. They're screaming. It's like being on a ride. Now, speaking of otters, if you don't mind me backing up a minute, about Marna and the great guide that she is. How much time we got here?
About a minute.
The writer from National Geographic, it turns out nature scat was a big interest of his. So next thing you know, while we're on the lagoon, on the beach, on the ocean side, Marna interprets a couple giant, collections of evidence of an business otter cards. Family yeah. making their business. And the way she described it, involving a communal dance of otters, one by one they go up, shake, 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 squat, 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 leave a little scat behind. The next one comes up, does the exact same thing. It's almost like a
ceremony?
Like a dance or ceremony or disco. And she had me and the writer just laugh. We were in tears. We were laughing so hard. She'd done such a good job with that. It was now all we need is to actually get that on video, because all we were able to do is recreate the evidence based on the sand trails and the scat trails.
Yeah. So what'd you do today, dear? Oh, I made a movie. Oh, of what? I'll leave that for you guys to enjoy. Look forward to it being on the website. Thanks for coming by. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Richard Steyer. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.